Welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA. We are continuing our component series, introducing the leadership of our local components, allowing them to share how they are supporting their membership and engaging with their community. In today's episode, we have the leaders of AIA Tampa Bay. Please welcome the current president, Jody Beck, AIA, Scott Holmes, AIA, their president-elect, and the state director, Jonathan Moore, AIA. Again, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So Tampa has been undergoing significant transformation in the recent years with a strong focus on economic and cultural growth, such issues as affordable housing and urban development and revitalization, all in efforts to improve the overall livability of the city. By focusing on these areas, Tampa aims to position itself as a modern, thriving city that is attractive to both residents and businesses. The ongoing development not only ensures the city's growth, but also improves the quality of life for its inhabitants, making it an increasingly attractive place to live and work. AIA Tampa Bay is the third largest component within the state, serving Hillsborough, Pinellas, Polk, Pasco, Hernando, Citrus, and Sumter counties. Of the 811 licensed architects in your area, there are 754 AIA members. And this calculates into a whopping 68% of market share, which is up there, you guys. You guys are doing a great job. So Jody, as the 2025 component president, tell us a little bit about the history of the component and about your time and history on the board.
Okay, great. Thank you. So the history of our component is an interesting one. What has become AIA Tampa Bay was originally established as the Florida West Coast chapter back in 1981. And then in the 90s, an AIA staff member from New York, her name was Evelyn McGrath, moved to Tampa and she established our chapter as a full service distributor of AIA contract documents. So the origins of our component really revolve around this move she made to distribute the contract documents, because that's what allowed our component to grow and be a source of revenue. She originally sold them from her garage, and then it got bigger and bigger. And now today, we're, as Rhonda said, we have 7 counties and almost 600 members. That was an interesting history of AIA Tampa Bay. And then about me, I run a small firm here in Tampa called Traction Architecture. It's run by me and my husband, Ross Tisdale. And we design a variety of smaller scale design focused projects. The majority of our work is modern, sustainable coastal homes. So we do a lot of work in the flood zones. And some of you may have heard me talk before about the impacts of the last year's hurricanes on our projects. So that's been a big deal for us. And we've been honored over the years to receive numerous AIA design awards. Then a little bit about how my history, how I got here. I grew up in Tampa, so I have a long history in the area. But it was a very sleepy little town back then. And all I wanted to do was get out of it and move to New York City or somewhere more exciting. So I went to undergrad at Brown University and I studied architectural history and theory. I really at that time wanted to be a writer. I wanted to write about architecture. So my first job out of college was in New York City at an architectural firm doing marketing. I ended up spending a lot of time in their wood shop where they were building models and got more and more interested in the idea of possibly pursuing architecture as a career. And so after a couple of years in New York, I eventually moved to LA. I went to SciArc, where I got a master's of architecture. That's also where I met my husband. And then in 2007, when we were all done, we looked around. We really wanted to stay in LA, but it was so expensive, so hard to live. We looked at Tampa, still pretty sleepy then, but we decided to make a gamble. And I dragged him back to my hometown, Tampa. And, you know, we eventually established Traction Architecture. So I got my license soon after that in 2009. And I was an AIA Tampa Bay member since I got my license. But I didn't really get actively involved on the board until I talked to Jonathan Moore at one of the AIA Florida conferences. We were sitting poolside at the Breakers and he said, hey, come join my board, be the secretary, run for secretary. So I said, okay, why not? I like have so much respect for Jonathan and Angela Hendershot, who was the vice president at that time. So I joined and then a year later ran for the vice president position, and the rest is history.
If she only knew what three pina coladas would do.
I know. And here I am running Design Week. And yeah.
So Jonathan, what about you? Share a little about your history.
I am the president of Envision Advisors. We are an owner's representative firm. So while I am a registered architect and will always be a registered architect, I am an owner's representative in my daily life. What that means to AIA is I get to work with all of my wonderful friend members, and it's just a joy. I've been a member of AIA for 20 something years. Took me about 10, 12 years to finally say I need to start giving back to AIA. I took and took and took the documents, took the CEUs. Finally, one of my friends said, you need to start giving back. I went through the secretary, treasurer, vice president. I was president of AIA Tampa Bay in 2023 and continue to play an active part in the board.
And Scott, what about you?
So my involvement with the AIA and history in Tampa goes back 50 years when I was born in 1975 and was born into a house that my dad designed, which was a architectural record home that he designed when he was in his 20s. I can remember the first AIA event I attended was in New Orleans, and it was when my dad was getting his FAIA. And I remember being on stage shaking the hands of each person that was coming up there to get their FAIA award. I've got a pretty long history. I started designing houses and basically drafting at his office, Row Homes, back probably when in third grade. And finally, they hired me when I was around 13 years old. When I was in high school, it converted back over to computer or started converting to computers. And I thought, oh, well, this is not going to be any fun anymore. You're not drafting. You're not using your hands. I decided to pursue a different degree going to college. Kind of still wanted to do architecture, but my dad encouraged me to get another degree, to get more well-rounded rather than just focus strictly in architecture. I got two undergrad degrees, one in chemical engineering, one in biochemistry, and then worked for a few years out in California, worked as a code enforcement officer, and then also as an environmental engineer. And then after about 3 years, I decided, okay, well, I need to go back to school for architecture. Otherwise, I'll never go back. Decided to apply for a bunch of schools, got into the University of Florida, came back here, did their core program, which was from 2003 to 2007. And then after graduating, moved back to Tampa, worked for my dad's firm for about 2 years, and told him, look, I'd rather start my own thing. I was just finishing up my licensing and started my own firm over in Indian Rocks Beach, which is Holmes Architects. Mainly what we do is we focus on secondary schools. We've done some residential projects and some other work. We've done a museum, a chapel, city hall, and you know, a variety of different small projects. Currently, we're mainly focusing on school work. I've always known about the AIA, and I know what they represent, and I always wanted to somehow get more involved and give back. So I went to a couple of the, actually went to the opening of our new CAD center. Angela Hendershot and Jody Beck kind of approached me and said, would you be interested in being on the board? And I said, okay, not sure if I can find the time to do it, but of course I'll give it my best. Shortly after that, I was elected secretary. Worked out pretty well. That went on for a year. And after that, they asked if I'd be interested in being vice president, which of course is a 3-year role where you go from vice president, president to immediate past president. Thought about it and said, all right, well, that's a long commitment, but things are starting to slow down a little bit in my practice. So I think I'll be able to put all my efforts toward that. So here I am now today, pretty happy to be here.
That's quite a legacy. I bet being the code enforcement officer puts a whole new perspective on the work.
Definitely, especially during the hurricanes, dealing with what's been going on down here with the permitting.
So as one of the larger components around the state, you have a paid staff. Tell us how this works and how this serves your component.
Dawn Magus is our executive director. She has been with AIA Tampa Bay more than 20 years, and she is the magic behind our component. Having Dawn there consistently year after year as the board changes hands, this is what allows us to kind of keep everything running, that consistency that she brings. And having her allows us to coordinate so many events, so many big events. She's really key to the success of AIA Tampa Bay.
So the configuration of your executive board is unique to Tampa Bay. I noticed a couple of associate directors, East and West directors. You have an AIAS representative, a public member, which is new to me, and an academic member. Tell us about the makeup of the board and why you think this arrangement best serves your area.
I think that the board configuration is a reflective of the community. You know, we have the USF School of Architecture as a part of our community, which brings a lot of future architects to us. We have a large associate membership. So the associate director runs the Young Architects Forum, which provides ARE training. Our East and West directors, we have a pretty wide area across the seven counties. And originally the East and West directors were to be that point contact, either, you know, closer to the bay or more inland. They have become sort of just part of the working executive board now, not necessarily with focuses on, you know, Polk County or Pinellas County, but we do try to respond to all of our members with, again, that AIAS, the USF students, and the public member, which is generally speaking, someone who is interested in architecture, may have a background in architecture, but not registered. In past times, and actually current, we've had communications folks with experience in architecture that have become a very valuable member, especially when we are the voice of the profession. And we find architects aren't necessarily always the best public voice. So how do we find that public voice to be the voice of architecture?
So coming back to your presidency, Jody, tell us, what can you share about your vision for this year?
Yeah, I kind of going with what Jonathan just said about our public member who brings connections to the public and public outreach. One of my biggest goals this year has been that public outreach. I've really been trying to bolster our public outreach arm, which is the Center for Architecture and Design, which is the name of our building, but it is also the foundation that's responsible for talking to the public about what architects do and really kind of showing our value to the community. To that end, we organized for the first time an Art by Architects exhibit at the Gasparilla Art Festival, which is this huge art festival in downtown Tampa. And that was a lot of fun because what we did was we showcased the artistic kind of side projects that our members do. So they're architects, but you know, so many architects, they're sketching on the side or they're woodworking. Some of the members have written books. And so we had all kinds of creative work by architects that wasn't necessarily architecture that we showcased and even sold at the art festival. And then right now, my main focus, kind of laser focus, is on next week, where we have Design Week starting on April 13th. And we have one event each day that's open to the public. They include walking tours, a riverboat tour, award-winning building tours, and a film screening at Tampa Theater, which is this historic, amazing theater in downtown Tampa. But we are so excited to be screening these two short documentaries about architecture. The first one tells the story of one of Tom Main's first built projects called the Crawford House. And in that film, he works with a young architect named Robin Donaldson, who then went on to have his own amazing firm out in California with groundbreaking art and architecture. And so the second film features a house that Robin designed recently, and it's titled This Is Not a House, because it's really defies our expectations of what domestic space is and how we live and what residential architecture can be. And then so making it all the more exciting, Robin and the filmmakers are coming in from California to talk to the public and to our community about the films and about architecture. So I'm really proud of that and excited about it for Design Week.
So your website offers a whole host of programming and committees, and you host a golf tournament as typical for most components. But there's a few that I'm interested in learning about. The first one is the Sporting Clays Tournament. So tell us about your clay shooting.
That is definitely Jonathan Moore's wheelhouse. I'll let you speak on sporting clays, Jonathan.
So yeah, I am passionate about it. 10 years. We've been doing this thing for 10 years.
Wow.
Over 100 shooters out there. The proceeds support our USF scholarship, Design Week community activities. There are teams that come to win, and there's a trophy design competition that our architect members will design the trophies. It brings contractors, engineers, developers, building officials, and architect members all together. It's a really great time. Gets people out of their element a little bit, and it's faster than a golf tournament.
You have a thriving Women in Architecture program. How has that program impacted the women in your area, Jody?
Yeah, the Women in Architecture program has been wonderful. It showcases so many of the talented women in our community. It was chaired in the past by Gloria Clotter, and we have a new chair this year named Anna Walrap, who also just won the Citizen Architect Award. She just organized, just last week, we had a great Women in Architecture event. It was a tour of Water Street, and a woman who is part of the development team at Strategic Property Partners gave the tour. Her name is MK Mikulak. And then this tour began and ended at Gensler, which the local Gensler office is led by another amazing woman architect named Sarah Jobert. And she gave a talk about her journey. So what I love about what we've done in Tampa with Women in Architecture is that while, you know, it does highlight all of these extraordinary professionals, these are just professionals who happen to be women. And these events are engaging the entire community, men and women. And so it's a really great program.
Another new one for me was the Academy of Architecture for Health.
We have a fantastic annual event with SMPS, the Society of Marketing Professionals, that the event raises money and brings together medical professionals with our architect members to talk about trends, projects, and networking together. So there are hundreds of attendees, many of which have been faithful for 10, 15 years. So seeing the director of facilities for BayCare, Advent Health, they're all coming to this event. They know that trends will be discussed, and it's a great, great benefit to our members.
You also have an outreach that it's entitled Voice of Architecture, and it's quite visible. I've seen it on the social media posts quite often. What is its purpose?
So the Voice of Architecture is a little bit different than this. Basically, a pulse on what the economy is currently, whether that be for both building construction and architecture. What we do is we send out a questionnaire to all the AIA members, and then also throughout, you know, our sponsors and whoever else we get some sort of survey from. So we come up with questions, we send out the survey. What we do is we enlist at least three or four members of the architecture and building construction community, and we have a forum where we come in, we have specific questions that we ask them based on that survey. So we have someone from the architectural, you know, an architect that's on the board, someone from construction, like a contractor. We also have someone that's either a developer or a lawyer that's in that area, you know, in the construction or development area. And we do this about once a year. What we do is we have this at the center and have all four of those there. It's a open to the public event. We ask the questions and get their feedback at this forum. And after this, it's either published in one of the local business journals or published mm-hmm. online to promote what is going on in the industry, what the economic outlook is for this year, last year, and next year.
That is interesting that it's the economic outlook. So you also host several knowledge communities, which is another feature that is unique to Tampa Bay. Talk about the knowledge communities.
I'm involved in one of the knowledge communities, which is the building enclosure. It was formed about 20 years ago. There's a building enclosure council that is separate from architecture. It's basically contractors and trade industry and suppliers. And it's completely separate from the AIA. And it has been brought into the AIA as a knowledge community to basically put together different continuing education courses, outreach, and education on building envelope and building enclosure. I think there's about six continuing education courses a year that AIA Tampa Bay puts together. And then there's also the building and enclosure knowledge community on a national level. The AIA has one as well, which I believe is also, I'm not very familiar with the national one as I've just joined this community. So I've just started to get my feet wet. But they have the same kind of program where they'll send out blogs and different information on different types of building enclosure information.
Can anybody in your component join the communities or those invitation only? How does that work?
Yes, anybody can join one of those knowledge communities. And that also is the same on the national level. You can apply for and go online. The AIA National has a very nice website where you can go and sign up for these communities. There's a number of ones. There's one, the Committee on the Environment, which is one that I'm also a part of, which again, they about once a week, they'll have somebody that either publishes a blog or a paper that you can be a part of. And there's also continuing education. And our local stuff with the AIA Tampa Bay, anybody can be a part of that as well.
And then you just bring either in CEU courses or reports, just this information back to the component membership.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So the Tampa Bay Center for Architecture and Design is a milestone achievement for your component. From your website, you share, built in 1904, this registered historic structure has been saved from potential demolition by AIA Tampa Bay. The Center for Architecture and Design stands as a testament to our commitment to preserving architectural heritage while promoting sustainable design practices. So Jonathan, I've assigned this one to you. Tell us about the purpose of the center and about the process of bringing it to fruition. And of course, anybody that I see Jonathan smiling there. So if there's anything you can add, tell us about the Center for Architecture and Design.
AIA Tampa Bay has been working on finding a permanent home for 20 years, and we finally did it. The purpose of the center is to be that dedicated space for AIA Tampa Bay, but it's also a resource for the community on the built environment. So of course we host our meetings and receptions and continuing education, but we also allow other community organizations to use the space. We've got a great gallery space. We've had West Tampa Chamber of Commerce in there. The American Institute of Steel Construction just had a great show there. And the hopes are that we're not only the voice of the profession, but now we have the physical location to support education and awareness of the profession. To get this thing done, our members really came out. Our wonderful AIA Florida Vice President, Peter Hauerstein, donated architectural services. Vendors came forward. Allied members came forward to assist with labor and materials. It was really a community project. And the result is a product of the community.
AIA Tampa Bay also claims many influential members to our Florida board. As you just mentioned, Peter Hauerstein is one of our vice presidents, and he's currently the convention committee chair for this year. In 2023, Beverly Frank AIA was our president. Gloria Cloder AIA is our newly elected strategic counselor at large at the national level. And of course, Mickey Jacob, FAIA, who is the founder of our JLI leadership program and was AIA Nationals president in 2013. So other than Scott Holmes, who has such a legacy there in Tampa, is there anybody else you'd like to share?
Recently, we got a new director at USF, Ron Delaney. Before that, we had an interim director, Steve Cook, who did an excellent job. So now he was involved with the search to find the new director. So Ron has been very involved with AIA Tampa Bay. He's been coming to our meetings. He's very engaged. So we're very happy to have him on board. Also, all the past presidents that of recent have been very involved as well. Carlos Molnar, Gerald McCantis, Angela Hendershot, of course, Jonathan Moore and Peter Hauerstein. All of them have joined us in either Tallahassee or in Washington to help support the AIA and Tampa Bay and their events. Last but not least is Dawn. Dawn has been one of the best leaders. We wouldn't have AIA Tampa Bay where it is now without her.
So AIA Tampa Bay is engaged at the state on many levels. We have several members serving on the board like you've just mentioned. You've been setting the bar for participation in the legislative day events as you just referred to. So first, with engaging the USF students and supporting their participation. And in 2023, AIA Tampa Bay won the coveted Michael Huey Leader of the Pack trophy by meeting the component challenge of raising the largest donation for FAPAC. AIA Tampa Bay is also the first component to ever raise more than $10,000. So now you've set the whole new standard for this FAPAC challenge that's going on. Without giving away any trade secrets, share how Tampa Bay set about to win this recognition?
I would have to give a lot of recent credit to Peter Hauerstein, who has been such a champion for FAPAC and so good about motivating and educating the board and all the members on what's happening in Tallahassee, why it's important, why it's necessary. I don't want to give anything else away about how he does it, but he does. He's incredible. And then I think also just the engagement, both kind of at the top of the people, as Scott mentioned, who have been presidents and past presidents, staying engaged. And then as well with the students, we kind of have both sides. And then this really amazing associate directors and associate group of architects or young architects. So I feel like we've done a good job of keeping people engaged at all levels and at all stages of their career, which has helped with all of these accolades and successes we've had.
You have so many programs, so many activities, so many ways to engage. Is there anything else you'd like to share about AIA Tampa Bay to those who may be considering moving to Tampa Bay or who are not members of AIA? What would you like to share?
I'd like to challenge some of the other chapters with regards to relationships with the local universities. We've worked really hard to build a relationship with USF. We've always had a great one, but through mentorship and having the director sits on our board, the AIS president sits on our board, we've really built that relationship to not only bring the profession to architectural education, but of course, encourage those students to stay in Tampa Bay, to stay in Florida. It's a fantastic place to practice architecture. I can't say enough about Tampa Bay. I can't say enough about Florida and this great organization.
Finally, we couldn't end our conversation without sharing that the AIA Florida's annual convention and trade show will be held in Tampa this summer. Share how the component and the city has prepared to host this event and what can we expect?
Well, we are so excited to share all of what's happening in Tampa Bay with the state and the architects across the state. Our city has just like exploded in new buildings and new everything and population, you know, since I left and ran away from Tampa and thought I was never coming back. It's an amazing place to live and to practice architecture. And we have so many great tours lined up. Our design week coming up next week is almost like a little tiny preview of what all of these things that are going to happen for the whole state, which is an even bigger event in the summer in terms of walking tours, riverboat tours, award-winning building tours. And then of course we have a lot of great continuing education courses, many of which are focused on what's going on in Tampa Bay. So one of the ones I'm most excited about is Water Street and talking about the development of that area, which is right where the convention is going to be held at the Marriott.
Several years ago, I was teaching at the School of Architecture at FAMU and took a studio on a field trip to Tampa Bay, and we toured the Water Street development. And there's that incredible model that they put on that was so much fun. But while I was waiting on the bus to return to Tallahassee, one of the students come up and I asked him, so what do you think about Tampa? Have you been here before? He says, I've never been here. He said, but I want to live here. He said, everybody in this area, he said, they're just smiling. Everybody is smiling and they look like they're happy. And I thought, what an observation that the whole area is just smiling and welcoming him.
I love that.
For more information about Tampa Bay, you can go to their website, aiatampabay.com. And let me tell you that the early bird registration for convention will close on April 30th. So you can go to our website to register and pick out your own sessions. Thank you for listening. Don't miss any of the advocacy minutes, the weekly legislative updates from our EVP, Becky Magdalena. You can find us wherever you stream your podcast. This is Rhonda Hammond, AIA, your host. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Voice of Florida Architecture, a podcast brought to you by AIA Florida. Thank you.